So if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to direct your attention to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 2, verses 11 through 12. Let us stand. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Peter writes, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our God and Father, we do thank you for the marvelous and wonderful salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Know the truths of the song that we have just heard. We deserved ill. We deserved to be cast off forever. But Lord, through your grace and your mercy, you have convicted us by your Spirit. You have drawn us and opened our hearts to the gospel that we might be called the children of light. Oh, Father, I would ask that we would never take this lightheartedly or for granted. I pray that tonight our hearts would be uplifted and challenged by the written word of God and through the Spirit of God. Lord, let us focus our hearts and our mind's eye to the Lord Jesus Christ again. Thank you for the wonderful service we had this morning. And we just ask, God, that you would bless, put all distractions aside. And we just pray, Father, in all things that you would be honored, that you would be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Apostle Peter has a message for you and for me tonight as he writes here to the strangers that are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And under the inspiration of God here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, he's not only writing to those that he wrote to years ago, but he's writing for us today. For it is the word of God that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is the word of God that we hunger and thirst after. It is the word of God that builds us up in the most holy faith. And it is the word of God that we need tonight. And this is Peter, the Peter, a rugged, bold-mouthed fisherman who was called by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to come, follow me. And he left all. He forsook everything. And he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Peter who, when asked by Jesus Christ himself, in which he asked, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of God, am?" And Peter, bold Peter, said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And we know Christ, our Savior's response, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." This is Peter who said he would never deny Christ. This is Peter who stepped out of the boat to walk on the water when Christ was on the water, and while all other disciples stayed within the boat. And oh, we criticize Peter at this point, don't we? He lacked in his faith. How could he look at the winds and the waves that were contrary? How could he fail? He was the only one that stepped out of the boat. Peter had boldness to step out. Peter had boldness to say, "Oh, while all men will deny you, I will never deny you." It was Peter who, when Christ was being taken, pulled out his sword and smote the servant of the high priest. It was Peter who, when pressed never to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, replied, "We cannot help but speak the things which we have heard and seen." It was this Peter who wept after he denied Christ. It was this Peter who, after the crucifixion, went back to fishing. This Peter, after the resurrection, was told when Christ appeared to him to feed his sheep. Peter, who with John testified in the name of Jesus Christ, who was instrumental in seeing many converted unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, who was arrested and put in jail, released by an angel, and would go and testify of the things that God had done. Peter, who was sent of God to go to Cornelius' house and see Gentiles saved and come to know the Lord. Peter, who was crucified upside down as a martyr. And this same Peter, under the inspiration of God, is speaking to us. Yea, he is begging us tonight in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. I want you to see 3 points tonight, if you will. Number one, the description of believers. Number two, the exhortation of Peter. And number three, the visitation of the Gentiles. The Bible tells us, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Peter is calling those who have been called by the gospel. Look at your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter number 1, beginning in verses 3 through 5. He is speaking to those who have already been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have already been born again by the Spirit of God. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter is writing and he says, you haven't been begotten because of your good works. You haven't been begotten because of your baptism in a church. You haven't been begotten because of anything that you are. You have been begotten because of the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So therefore, glory in his name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad in verse number 5 that you are not kept by your performances or your personality? You are kept by the power of God. If you are in the hand of the Father, no man shall pluck you out. If you are on the straight and narrow way, no matter how many roaring lions will be there, the staff is in the hand of our good shepherd. And he will allow all that which is ungodly and all that which is opposing those sheep in his sheepfold. He will protect to the end. We also see Peter's exhortation in verses 18 through 21. For as much as you know this. Now, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. With the subject of the resurrection next Sunday, you notice in those two passages, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote that without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, our preaching would be worthless. But Jesus Christ, he who died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day to conquer sin, to conquer death, and to give us life, an everlasting life, and a hope and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so Peter, as he's writing to these believers who are going through a great trial, they've been spread abroad. They are physical strangers in a strange land. And we see this here in verse number 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So those to whom he is writing to are going through heartaches. They have questions. They don't know what tomorrow will hold. But they can rejoice that their names are written down in heaven. They can rejoice that they have been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Peter is writing to encourage. And Peter is writing to exhort. And Peter is writing to tell them to look up. a focus on eternity, to tell them this world is not your home. We're simply passing through. So remember the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. He addresses them as dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. Where would Peter learn this love? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He who had showed him love time and time again, grace, forgiveness, mercy. He approaches them, dearly beloved, though you're in heartache, though you are going through the trials and pains, the tribulations, patience. Beloved, understand this, that while you are called to go through what you are going through, understand your high calling as strangers and pilgrims. The word stranger signifies one as a dweller in a strange land, alluding to a visitor who tarries for a time in a foreign country, not permanently settling in. And so we tonight who are called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we tonight who have submitted to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are also called strangers. Strangers, not in the aspect of I don't know you and you don't know me, but strangers who are living in this world. That we, though we live here for a short time, this life is but a vapor. It appears for a short time and then vanishes away. But we are strangers in that we are dwelling in a land that does not love God. There is no fear of God before our eyes. We are dwelling in a land whose God, small g, is Satan, the devil. We are dwelling in a land filled with immorality and lying and perverseness and promiscuity. And you go down the name, and we're dwelling in such a land of darkness. And Peter says, let me remind you of your name. You are called children of God. You are called saints of the Lord. You are called as children of light. But let me also remind you of one other name. You are called to be strangers. Strangers to this world. We are called to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We are called to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We are settlers having a house in a city without being citizens in respect to the rights of citizens. What a glorious picture this is. Pictures of Christians on earth. We are simply passing through. Let me ask you tonight, is this your attitude to the world? Do you see yourself as a stranger? Or do you see yourself loving the things of this world? Are you infatuated? Are you dazzled? Are you deceived by what you see? Have you forgotten that we are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least ought to be? Have you forgotten the fact that this world is not our home? Have you forgotten that God is in heaven and one way we will too be with Him in heaven? That we are searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are to be strangers in this world. Not only strangers, but He calls us pilgrims. Pilgrims, one who stays for a time in a foreign land. You've gone on a missions trip. You've gone to another state. If you go to Texas, that's kind of like a missions trip. You go to a strange land and you're in a strange hotel and you're around strange people who you don't have any idea. This is the concept of what a pilgrim is. Staying for a time in a foreign land. And so we are here on this earth for a short time. It won't be forever. It is just a short time, and it ought to be viewed as a foreign land. But let me say this, if I may be so bold. I think we've lost this concept in American Christianity. Being spiritual strangers and pilgrims. And just look at Christianity today. Look at Christians. Well, let's have God and the world. Let's have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And let's all invite the world inside the church. When God and the inspiration here, the Holy Spirit, when the Lord Jesus Christ has told us that the gospel is a calling out of the world. And so Christians are confused when they see churches who are to be representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is a calling out of the world, but they're preaching Christ and loving the world. And James tells us that you are spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Right. Have you forgotten, James says? You've forgotten your name? You've forgotten our journey? Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. Where is that from? It's not from the Father. Pilgrims, strangers. We can boil it down to our desires, the things that we spend our money on. What is it that we seek after? What is it that entertains us? I'm surprised when Christians are entertained by the same things the world are entertained by. The music, the movies, the media, talking the things of this world. No, we are, our conduct, our conversation is to be in heaven. We're speaking things that are pure and holy and godsome and truth and without hypocrisy. And so Peter sees that in his own life, in his own heart, he has struggled against such things. Peter sees, looking at the man in the mirror, that while he one day said, I will never deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he denied him. And Peter isn't boasting that he is some high and holy Christian better than anybody else. He's saying, I too am a fallible man. I too have made my mistakes. And if I will, church family, I beg you and I beseech you, do not go down that road, for it's a road of heartache. It's a road of regret. So I'm calling you as loved ones, and I'm begging you as loved ones, be cautious and abstain. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Fleshly lusts, strangers, pilgrims, should remember their distant home and not follow the practices of the strange land in which they sojourn. Is this not the teaching of the Old Testament? Israel, when you go into a land, destroy all the idols, destroy and get rid of all the gods. Why? So you yourself are not tempted to bow the knee to those idols, to those pagan gods. And we see they disobeyed God and they did not tear down the idols. And what did we find them doing? Bowing the knee, drawn after these idols and gods. And you must guard your heart. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You must daily give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must daily let your eyes, the eyes of faith, observe the ways of God and the word of God. You must daily. Otherwise, you will end up like a Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, in which Solomon loved many strange women. And it was because of those wives whom he married, turned his heart away from the true and living God. You say, that'll never happen to me. I'm too strong for that. I've been in church 30 plus years. I read the Bible 25 minutes a day. You better take heed, right, lest you fall. And Peter said, I'll never deny Christ. I'm sure Solomon. Think about this. Solomon, the Bible says, a man to whom the Lord appeared twice. Imagine all the glory he saw. He saw the Lord. The Lord used him greatly to write Proverbs. The Lord used him greatly to build him a house. Wisdom he had, riches he had. I'll never deny Christ. And he quit fighting. Got his heart set on the things that he shouldn't have. And he fell. The judgment seat of Christ. Oh, how we wish we would go back and do things over. How we wish we would have fought more strongly. How we wish we would have pursued holiness. How we wish we would have listened to what the preacher told us to on Sunday to watch out for children. We would have wished, many would have wished they would have listened to their parents when they warned you about that guy or that lady. When they warned you about those friends to hang around with. When they warned you about being involved in things that you shouldn't be involved with. And you thought, no, I'm okay. I can handle this. Besides, we live under grace and not the law. I can do whatever I want, right? But wait a second. Strangers, pilgrims. He says, abstain. This word abstain means to keep away from, run, pass by it, turn away. Yet how often our hearts are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. So thus we pray, take my heart, O God, and seal it for thy courts above. Why? Because our hearts are prone to wander, and we see the world and all of its false glory, if you will. It's almost as a fireworks show, seeking to steal away the attentions of the believers while this magnificent display of fireworks is going on here, and you are focused on here. You have no idea what's going on here. So the world is producing this fireworks show to get the pilgrim and the stranger distracted so they don't focus on the will of God. They don't focus on the souls of mankind. They don't focus on giving glory to God. They focus on all this, which is but a puff of smoke compared to eternity. Wood, hay, stubble compared to precious stones. And so they become distracted and our hearts are turned away. And so Peter is urging his people, as Pastor Houston has urged you over the years, and as I urge you tonight, abstain. Turn away from, step back and get back. Can a man take fire and his bosom and his clothes not be burned? You're playing with fire. And Christians like to act, well, I think I can get as close as I can to the world without falling off. When God has told us to step back, get back. Stay away from that. While sin is enticing, and we read this in Proverbs several times about the adulterous woman, and she allures with her speech and her sight, and she says, come, come, come. And what does Solomon say? Stay away. Be guided in the word. Receive wisdom. Receive understanding. Receive knowledge. For when we neglect wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, that is the foolish man who is being led to the slaughter, who is being led down the path, whose paths lead to hell and life, or eternal death rather than eternal life. So be cautious. Abstain from fleshly lusts. And what is it that we see bombarding us each day? Is it not fleshly lusts? Which war against the soul? What is the soul? The inward man. They war. We are at war. And do you treat this world as a playground or as a battlefield? Many treat it as a playground. Well, let's just eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die. Let us keep up with the Joneses. Let us seek after building up ourselves a name like those with the Tower of Babel. Let us build ourselves up to heaven. Let us build a name so that we can be known in the eyes of men, when Jesus has called us to humility, to being selfless rather than selfish, to be a giver rather than covetous, to walk in purity and holiness, and to fight against, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I don't understand how Christians can watch the same things, the things this world watches. I don't understand how a pilgrim and stranger can sit before a television screen with a program that blasphemes the name of the Lord over and over and over and over. We've lost this. I think we've become desensitized. We've just accepted. Oh, they're just going to do it anyways. Well, get up, turn off the TV. Throw the TV out the window. Stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they cuss and they use profanity and sensuality. And it's almost just doesn't affect us. We don't blush. Jeremiah says, the sin is there, but nobody blushes. And I find this, as Peter, I find it in my own heart, being tempted to just let it pass by, being tempted not to fight against it, not to abstain I find it in my own heart and life to be desensitized by the things that displease God. Look at Galatians chapter 5, if you would please. I'm keeping your finger here. In Peter, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. The works of the flesh, what are these? Things that war against the soul, what are these? Fleshly lusts. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Stop right there. What are the most of the soap operas and movies about? Adulteries, fornication. What is the underlining message behind certain genres of music? Is it not adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, I have told you before, I'm reminding you again, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If that is the mark of your life, you ought to examine yourselves, because you may not be in the faith. But the fruit of the Spirit. So examine the things that you're drawn to. Do you see the lusts of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Paul told the church, 1 Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. People wonder, what's the will of God for my life? I love telling them this answer: walk in sanctification. Fight against sin. Seek to grow in Christ's likeness. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And I believe it was John Owen who once said, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. And so daily it is a battle of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Paul tells us, look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, there's a battle going on in the inward man of Paul, the apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries that this world has ever known. And he says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't do, the things I don't want to do, those I find myself doing. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? I thank God through Christ Jesus. There was only one remedy. There was only one way out. And it was his Savior, the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. He to whom he was to put his heart and his soul and his strength back on. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a battle in all of us. And let us be honest. The Spirit, the flesh, they're warring one to the other. What do you feed most? What do you hunger after more? The things of this world, the things of this flesh, or are you desirous of the Spirit? We must fight against it. Fight against it in prayer. Pray, ask God. God, give me a love for the things that you love and a hatred for the things that you hate. Pray, God, give me your Spirit and his strength so that I may overcome the things that seek to destroy me. And you must be active. I don't believe sanctification to be a passive process. I believe it is an active one. You must be killing it. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them which turn me aside. I will not cleave to it. And Job says, I will not look upon a maiden. You have to decide. You have to fight against it. You have to turn away. Be like a Job, a perfect and upright man, one who feared God and eschewed or turned away from evil. So what's the first step from turning away evil? Fearing God. Having a reverence for God. Seeing Him high and holy. Seeing Him, He who, as He is, separated. And I believe that is the problem when we look at these mega churches who are bringing the world in. They've lost their reverence for God. And thus they're bringing in the rock bands and the rappers and the celebrities, and they're partying, and they're no different than the nightclub down the street. They've just added the word church to it and called it a spiritual gathering. First step, fearing God. Pray. Get in the Word. See God as He truly is. Study His attributes. Think upon the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then shun evil. So he says, abstain from fleshly lust. Abstain from the things of this world, and abstain from the devil. James tells us that. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You must resist him. You must draw nigh to God. Interesting here, the words of Peter. He says, I beseech you, I'm begging you, abstain. And you remember Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, those famous passages. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, Paul is begging. Paul is beseeching. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul, after preaching and delivering such a wonderful message on God's omnipotence, on God's grace, on God's mercy to the sinner, he says, I beseech you, walk in a manner that is worthy. Walk in holiness. Do not be conformed to the things of this world. And you will be conformed to the things of this world if you're not transformed by the Word of God. So why does the pastor get up each week and say, do your daily devotions, get in the Word. Take up the sword of the Spirit and fight. It is our weapon of warfare. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Peter, before he exhorts here in our text, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, abstain from fleshly lusts. Don't be like you were when you were a lost person. Those desires, those affections that you once had, get rid of them. That's the old man. All things have become new. And while it will try to creep its ugly head back in your life, you must put it to death. Put that away. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Don't fashion yourselves to the former lusts in your ignorance. But, and you can see the comparison, Peter says, don't do this. But he doesn't leave you at that. He said, but do this. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Some people think holiness looks like being a monk or a nun, dressing up in the religious garbs like the Pharisees, talking the talk, saying that you're religious, saying that you know the law of Moses, but it goes much more deeper than that. Holiness is in the heart. A broken and contrite spirit God will not despise. Being broken over sin, being broken over who you are, being broken over the disobedience that we so find ourselves in. He says, seek after holiness. Be holy, abiding in Christ, John chapter 15. Abide in Him, and you will be holy. Get in His holy Word, and He will produce you in you a holy heart. Be holy as God is holy. We ask ourselves, well, why? Look at the next phrase. 1 Peter chapter 2, Verse 12. Having your conversation again or conduct honest among the Gentiles, among the lost world, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, with which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Turn to the left a few pages to Hebrews 11. We're given examples. We're given heroes to look up to in this abstaining, in this fight, in this battle, in this war. We're given spiritual fathers that we are encouraged by, and they're here in the Hall of Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned, stranger, in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Church family, what do you declare plainly tonight? Is it as that heaven is your home, and that you are simply like Abraham when you are called to get out of the country and go to a place that God has told you to go to? Do you obey? Do you seek to be obedient to his word? What glorious words here. They embraced them. They were persuaded by God's truth, and they confessed not only with their lips, but also with their life, that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And the fact of the matter is, when we read the Old Testament, we see that in fact they were. We can go through all of the examples of Abraham, of Enoch, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses. They did not enjoy the pleasures of this world for a season. Oh, no, they feared God and kept his commandments. So we ask ourselves tonight, where are we in this pilgrim path? Where are we on this journey? Are we abstaining from fleshly lusts which war against the soul? And then verse 12, do we have our conversation honest among the Gentiles? Honest, our conduct, is it honest? Is it holy amongst those who do not believe? I think one of the saddest things is when a Christian who acts one way in a church on Sunday is around lost people the rest of the week, and he's simply a chameleon Christian seeking to blend in with the language and the style and the fads and the things of this world. And the lost person points his finger and says, "You're no different than I am." They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're like the Pharisees who say, "I love God," but the hearts are far from God. Is that you tonight? You carry a Bible to church, you dress up, you may even open a Bible throughout your week, but you know deep down in your heart, deep down in your soul, you're just a hypocrite. A hypocrite who playing the part of a Christian. A hypocrite is simply one who was on the stage of a play, who would play the part of a person and would sell it to the crowd that they are in fact that person. Do you sell it to your friends, to your family, to your spouse? Do you sell it as if you're seeking to be something that you're not? You don't have to. You can humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. You can repent and believe the gospel tonight. You can confess your sins to Him and understand and confess, "I'm done with my old lifestyle. I'm done with being a phony. I'm done with putting on a sham. I want to be true. I want to be genuine. I want to put my hands to the plow and look to the author and finisher of my faith, the Lord Jesus Christ." I played the part for 10 years myself, making a profession of faith as a young child. And saying, "Oh yes, I believe God," but it's more than believing God. The devils believe and they tremble. It's more than believing that Jesus is God. And the devils even believe that. Demon-possessed men believe Jesus was the Messiah. But to have you personally placed your faith and your trust in the resurrected Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, have you been bothered by your sin? Your original sin, who you are before God. Have you been broken? Have you been birthed into His family? And if not, oh, I pray today would be the day of your salvation. Now is the accepted time. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Get it right with God today. You say, "He'll never receive me." John tells us in John chapter 6 that all who come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. You say, "I'm too sinful." Paul was the chief of sinners and God still received him. Have you murdered anyone? Paul did. He thought he was doing God's work, dragging out Christians, killing them. Oh, come to Christ in faith. Place your faith in Him. Trust in Him. Give Him your heart. Quit playing a part. We have a great example in those who have gone before us. Those who have had their conduct, their walk. They not only talked the talk, but they walked the walk. I'm afraid far too many just simply talk the talk. Like on Pilgrim's Progress, that great allegory, talkative, who would come along Christian, and his religion just lied in his mouth. But Jesus said, "Blessed are ye if you do them." It's not enough to just hear them. It's not enough to just know them. Blessed is he that does them. Are you simply a talkative? You talk of spiritual things. You open up the Bible and you understand all knowledge, but you're simply a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know the ins and out of the law. You know what to say and when to say it. You know how to act in church. But there's nothing true, a genuine work of conversion in your heart. You're simply a talkative in Pilgrim's Progress. Don't be that man. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, dear believer, and let us fight against this. And though we're tempted to succumb to what they're doing, whether at work, whether by your neighbors or family members, don't succumb to that temptation. Have your conversation honest among those who are lost. Whereas when they speak evil of you, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Does it not remind you of the words of our Savior in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. We do the work of our Father. We do always those things which are pleasing in His sight. Why? So when the lost man says, "That man's a hypocrite," That man's all talk. That man doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. That they will be the ones who stand ashamed. That they will be the ones who speak lies and hypocrisy. Let people say what they will. You serve the Lord. You seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And forget about what other people say. I say that about Hannah. The high priest called Hannah drunk when she was pouring her heart out to the Lord. Let people say what they want and you seek the Lord. This morning in the message, these men are filled with new wine. Let them say what they want. This is the glorious work of God. Let us focus on the work of God. Don't let the things of the world, the things that the unbelievers say, their accusation, they're calling you evil, they're calling Christians destroyers of this world. Religion is the cause of all evil, they say, the atheists. Let them say what they will. You just let your light so shine before men. And don't let your light be hidden under a bushel. Is your light hidden under the bushel of worldliness? Is your light hidden under the bushel of pride? Is your light hidden under the bushel of selfishness? Is your life hidden under the bushel of covetousness? What is your light hidden under? What is it tempted to be hidden under? To be seen of men? To be known of men? Let your light so shine before men. Let it shine brightly. Let it shine in a pure and holy manner. And you seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them speak against you as evildoers, as they did the Lord Jesus Christ. He who was without sin, he who was sent as the only begotten Son of the Father, he who was sent to die for sinners, he who invited others to come unto him and have eternal life. And yet they said he was filled with demons. And yet they said that he spoke blasphemous words. And yes, they said that he was a lunatic. And yes, they said all these evil things about him. Jesus said, they've spoken ill about me. They hated me, but no, they will hate you because they hate me. Are you discouraged tonight? And when the punches of this world, they come and you just get knocked out, don't let it affect you. Glory! Jesus says, glory that your names are written down in heaven. Peter says, count it all joy. James says the same thing. Count it a joy, a privilege to be a partaker of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just focus on living a holy life. You focus on abstaining from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And you look for that city. You look for that country whose builder and maker of is God. You look for that time and you listen to those sweet words echoing in your ear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can we be called a good servant? Are we being faithful? It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are we faithful in seeking the Lord? Are we faithful in fighting against the things of this world? Are we faithful that when they may see your good works, and they will behold them, some will glorify God in the day of visitation. And there's argument to what this last phrase really truly means. I want to think it means what Christ said it means in the Sermon on the Mount, that when we let our light so shine before men, others will too be affected by the light of the gospel in our hearts and in our lives. And not only do we speak the gospel, we live the gospel. And they too will be transformed, and they too will be drawn to the light. And you think about those who have been an example in your life, in your conversion. Were they not people who love Christ, who are faithful to His Word, who are obedient as much as they could be? They tried and persevered. The day of visitation by others, meaning the visitation of God for evil, that when they one day will stand before God as unbelievers, that they too will then realize, I was surrounded by godly people. I was surrounded by genuine Christians, and yet I rejected it. Nobody's to blame but myself. God was merciful time and time and time again. He is long-suffering. He is patient toward us. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, people will mock. Why hasn't the Lord come back yet? He said He was going to come back, didn't He? God's long-suffering. He's patient. He's giving men opportunity to repent. He's giving others opportunity to believe. He's still calling His sheep home. So we must abstain. We must pursue holiness. We must remember our high calling, that we are strangers and pilgrims in the world. We sang two songs tonight. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. And this is the heart of the pilgrim. Guide me, God. Guide me, Jehovah, down the pathways of righteousness for Your name's sake. Guide me to that which is pleasing in Your sight. Guide me, though all men shall forsake me. Guide me to the way that is home. As we sing, I'd rather have Jesus on this pilgrim path than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than to have men's applause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. Is that us tonight? Are we a pilgrim seeking those things which are above? Colossians tells us, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Jesus tells us that the man who sets his affections on the things of this life will be disappointed. So set your treasures above in heaven, where neither moth nor rust shall corrupt, where thieves cannot come through and break through and steal. Set your heart on things above. Look upward. Pursue holiness. Pursue righteousness. Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. They war against the soul. So do an examination. Lay yourself down on God's examination table tonight. And say, search me, O God, try me, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. See if there's anything in my heart, O God, that's keeping me from pursuing You with all my heart and with all my soul. Have you done that? Maybe you need to go home and look at all your music and your movies and your media and the books that you read and the magazines you subscribe to. And maybe you need to go through the principles of God's Word and say, I am a pilgrim. I am a stranger. I am to abstain from fleshly lust. I am to follow after those things which glorify God. And this is doing me harm. This will be a bad testimony in my life. This might give an occasion for the Gentile to come in my house and say, you are a hypocrite. When I was a new believer and my heart was attached to the ungodly, to the filthy, sinful music of this world, and the Spirit of God pounding on my heart, when all it talked about was lust, immorality, adulteries, covetousness, and I thought, how can I be called a Christian? How can I be called a preacher of God's holy word and yet still love and like this music? And it was nothing of me. It was all God's Spirit. And I took my stack, hundreds of dollars worth of CDs, and I wrapped it in a grocery bag. And I, with a friend at the gas station, I said, I'm throwing this away, and I want nothing to do with it ever again. And then my friend so wisely said, why are you doing that? I could have kept those. Well, that didn't help. And the news spread abroad in the youth group. Did you hear what Casey did? Did you hear what he did? He got rid of all his worldly music. And I said, stop. This is nothing of me. This is a matter of being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is ungodly. That has nothing to do with the things of the city that I'm heading to. So maybe there are things, maybe there are some hurdles that are keeping you back from running the Christian race with all your might and with all your strength. And maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to get with your spouse and see, we're training up children and we're training them up in the way that they should go. And there might be some things here in our home that might be a bad testimony to them. If we give them an inch, they'll take a mile. If they're listening and seeing things before our eyes that we are allowing, they might go even the next step. And Pastor can testify, and I can testify how many sad situations and counseling sessions you meet with people you would have never thought. It was just giving way to little slight worldly affections here and there. But a pilgrim to feast upon the Word of God, to keep his eyes, the eyes of faith, on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be obedient, to love God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. To be like Job, to fear God, to shun evil. Our God and Father, we adore you as Father. You are faithful and true. You are holy and just. You are merciful and gracious. As your children, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Forgive us of the times that we have allowed sin and unrighteousness to come between us. We know that should we walk in the pathway of disobedience, we are turning away from your blessing. So, Father, I pray that you would stir in our hearts tonight this truth, our high calling as strangers and pilgrims in this world. Lord, I pray that we might examine our hearts and examine our homes, examine our habits. And should there be, Lord, let us be honest, anything that displeases you, anything that would keep back us from experiencing a true revival in our hearts and our souls, oh God, let us cast it off. Let us abstain from it. Let us pursue after holiness. Father, we ask that your Spirit would have his way in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that we would not be mere talkers of religion. But pure religion is this, that we would be unspotted from this world. So Lord, I ask that you would cleanse us and forgive us. Forgive me, O Lord. The impure thoughts, the impure motives, impure manners. Being tempted of things that are ungodly, O Lord. Would you be merciful and gracious to us again? Your word has told us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O Lord. Cleanse our hearts, and if need be, Lord, restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Help us to be like David after sinning greatly against you. He replied with a broken, contrite spirit, confessing that he had sinned against you and against you alone. Oh Lord, I pray that you would be with each family, each boy, each girl, each mom and dad, each person here tonight. May our sight be heavenward. And Lord, help us to walk as pilgrims and strangers in this world, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.